the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. In the first chapter of Matthew, which I just read, you hear the long genealogy of Christ. And there's a separate genealogy that's given also in Luke. This particular genealogy leads to Joseph, and it has a lot of interesting characters in it, and maybe it might help to fundamentally ask ourselves a question. When we read the Gospels, whether it be the Epistle, the Gospels, or the New Testament, each book is typically directed at a particular audience. And we could ask ourselves, who is Matthew writing to? And Matthew is specifically writing to the Jews of his time. And so he's written in a way to make a few very clear points. One point, and very clearly, that was made today with the emphasis is that Jesus is the son of Abraham. Jesus is the son of David. Luke writes a genealogy, but his point isn't simply to say Abraham and David. He also wants, because it's the gospel to the Gentiles, he goes all the way back to Adam, because Adam is the father of all humankind. So, one major point, David and Abraham. And these figures are important because of all the prophecies. And in the services leading up to today and throughout the Nativity Fast, and last year we did a class on it, we went through all the various messianic prophecies. And the messianic prophecies are come from a multitude of sources in all generations, starting from Genesis. Tomorrow evening we'll be reading 8 of them. But it starts all the way back in the beginning of the Bible with the book of Genesis 4 when it talks about the seed that would bruise the head of the serpent, that Eve's seed would bruise the head of the serpent. But then you go on and there's more clear prophecies, like today's prophecy that was quoted was from Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, from Isaiah, written 700 years, at least around there, 700 years before Christ. But then there's Daniel the prophet. There's Micah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, also known as Baruch, Zephaniah. So much so that in the Judaism of Matthew's time, there was a messianic expectation. And the expectation of the Messiah might have been misunderstood, because ancient Jews of that time and modern Jews today would say that they expected more of a military or a political leader. But nonetheless, from the book of Matthew, it's clear that Jesus fulfilled many of these messianic expectations. And when you think about it, that's God preparing the world for his Messiah. All those generations, 700, 500, 300 years before Christ, and then even thousands of years before the birth of Christ, there are seeds planted. And Matthew begins to trace this in the lineage. First of all, to make the point that Abraham, who is going to be the father of many nations, is ultimately the father of many nations in Christ. And that David, who was to bring forth the king, who would redeem Israel, who would be the leader over Israel, has brought forth a different sort of king, the heavenly king. There's also a few other points. We hear in today's gospel the mention of the name Jesus, the angel of the Lord telling Joseph to name his son Jesus. Joseph names his son, which is important, because it signifies that he is the adoptive father of Jesus. Because it is the father's prerogative on the 8th day, the day of circumcision, to name his son. And the point is made a few times that he's the adopted father by emphasizing the virginity of Mary and emphasizing that they did not live together. They were not truly married. until after Christ had come forth. And in our tradition, they never go on to go get married. They stay betrothed. They're always betrothed. But the language is fuzzy in the Greek and indicates that when it says they came together, that this also means that she moved in with him, essentially, while they're betrothed. The name Jesus is Savior. What is he going to save us from? It says that he would save us from our sins. The name Emmanuel, that the prophet Isaiah foretells of, that Jesus is God with us, is a confession of faith about the person of Christ, that he is exactly what the book of Hebrews says, that he is the express image of God the Father. That everything that we would come to know about the Father would be revealed in the face of the Son. And in the encounter with the Son, we also get from today's gospel that he was humble. Because we have this person who is Emmanuel, God with us, who comes to be born in a cave. And if you think about the Gospel of Luke, you can add in that in Luke they're traveling and that there's no place for them to stay and that they have to stay with animals in a very stinky situation. And this is all an indication to tell you about the nature of God, that God is humble. That although the messianic expectations may have been for an earthly ruler or a king to conquer the Romans or take over the empire to establish some sort of kingdom on earth, that God has revealed a different ruler, a different Messiah, a Messiah that is humble, not a warlord. When we put all these together in today's gospel, we have to acknowledge that the early Christians were not evangelized the same way that we are evangelized. This gospel was written for Jews to convince the Jews of that time that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was Lord. The Jews of that time were familiar with their scriptures, the Old Testament. They were familiar with the expectations. They were familiar with the temple and with all that went on. And so Matthew, in speaking to that audience, and Peter, when he gets up and preaches at after the Holy Spirit has descended, is speaking to an audience where something that has been largely expected is now come true, has now been fulfilled, has now come to realization. Now, tomorrow is the day of Christmas, and so I don't know about, some of us have kids, some of us don't, but maybe you can go back to your childhood and think about your expectation for presents and your anticipation. And for the last, since summer this year, our culture has lived in expectation of presents on Christmas. Earthly goods that often last a few weeks to get thrown away or, certainly don't last for a year. But children have their expectations. And we can think of the joy of their fulfillment. That when they open their gifts, this long expectation is awaited. This long-awaited expectation results in joy, excitement, exuberance. I wonder, many children won't sleep tonight, and many children will fall asleep and wake up very early, very concerned about these expectations that they received. This is also the way we could think about our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ. The Jews had expectations and were looking forward for the joyful time of the Messiah. And so when we encounter this genealogy, as boring as it may seem to us, and when we encounter the prophecies and these ancient things that we're not really all that familiar with, if we put them in their context, we realize that this is something absolutely beyond understanding that is happening. Something that so many people foretold of for so long, that was in many ways a pipe dream for so long, that it wasn't even that it was just under the surface. And that Matthew is trying to light the fire, to light that spark that shows the fulfillment, that shows the joy, that shows the reality of everything that they had confessed since Genesis, since Abraham and on. And Paul says today, but a greater thing has been provided for us because we too can partake in this joy. This joy wasn't simply fulfilled then. It is fulfilled in the birth and it is fulfilled in us. And ultimately, our celebration of Christmas, of Nativity, we tend to focus on the first coming. But we ourselves live in an expectation, a time of expectation. And so all the preaching of getting your lives right and asking for forgiveness, accepting the Messiah, following Christ, transforming yourselves are not just moralistic philosophy, but they are the preparation for the eschaton, for what we wait for, which is the time when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead and to complete what is not completed, the kingdom of heaven on earth, the heavenly reign from heaven, the fulfillment, the full fulfillment of what is expected of the Messiah and the messianic expectations. As we head on to Nativity, may God help us to somehow get in touch with the joy that the prophets must have felt when they saw this fulfilled. May we counter the joy of the angels, the shepherds, and somehow come to acknowledge who Jesus Christ really is as our Savior, as God with us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.